Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami, Srila Prabhupada. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, Vasudev, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences them. The less intelligent class of men, they call me the Supreme Controller. Purport. As will be more clearly explained in the next verse, the illusionary potency of the Lord bewilders the less intelligent to accept Brahmaji, or for that matter, any other person as a Supreme Lord. Brahmaji, however, refused to be called this, for he directly offers his respectful obeisances unto Lord Vasudev, or Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. As he has already offered the same respect to him in the Brahma Samhita 5.1. Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. The Supreme Lord is the personality of God as Shri Krishna. The primordial Lord in His transcendental body, the ultimate cause of all causes, I worship the primeval Lord Govinda. Brahmaji is conscious of His actual position, and He knows how less intelligent persons, bewildered by the illusionary energy of the Lord, whimsically accept anyone or everyone as God. A responsible personality like Brahmaji refuses to be addressed as the Supreme Lord by His disciple or His subordinates. But the foolish persons praised by the men, of the nature of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, feel flattered to be addressed as the Supreme Lord. Why such a person takes pleasure in being addressed as God, or why such a persons are addressed as God by foolish admirers, is explained in the following verse. Om Jnana Trimandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshusunmilitam yena tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanchakalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Ghor Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this chapter, the cause of all causes is specifically in this verse, Lord Brahma is offering his respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Lord Brahma, as Prabhupada mentions actually in the purport, that he clearly understands his position. He is not bewildered by his position because he has been accredited as the creator. So we all know from the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Brahma appears from the navel of Lord Vishnu onto the lotus flower. So he did not take birth like an ordinary person. He actually appeared. But when he appeared, his whole mind was blank. He did not know anything. So he was wondering why I am here. And this is actually the question which every intelligent human being, and I underline intelligent human being, would ask, why I am here. And whether we ask, in his Brahma Sutra, in the first aphorism he says, Athato Brahma Jignasa. Therefore you inquire into the higher nature. And when you, in English language at least, also Sanskrit I suppose is the same because Prabhupada translates that for us in English, athato. Athato means therefore. So when one starts a sentence, therefore, what does that mean? That the person who is speaking is assuming that you have reached a certain level of inquiry or certain level of understanding, and therefore you will inquire into the higher nature. So Lord Brahma, by his meditation upon the Supreme Lord, for many millions of years, in that deep meditation, he is connecting with the Supreme. Now he is connecting with his Creator. Now, when you connect with the Supreme Creator, and as explained in the scriptures by the Acharyas, and of course the Lord Himself, that He reveals Himself to us. How He reveals to us is, of course, a very simple process for us. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 10th chapter, says, Tesam satatam yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, the dhami buddhi yogam, that I give you the intelligence. Or what is the condition when Krishna gives you the intelligence? Is that you do bhajatam priti purvakam. You worship Him with love and devotion. So it is very important aspect that those who have come to at least that platform, as is mentioned here by Prabhupada, that the less intelligent, they have the mentality of dogs, hogs, and camels and asses. Means basically, they do not understand the value of human life. Prabhupada many times mentions that unfortunately, due to the very powerful potency of the Lord, the external potency, which we all now know that we address her as Maya Devi, she is so powerful, illusionary powers, that she puts all living entity into complete illusion. And in this illusion, we begin to think, I am someone very important. Aham Ishwara. And when we are in that mindset, I am the Ishwara, I am the controller, then you take great pleasure if someone recognizes you as an Ishwara. As Prabhupada mentioned, the purport, they take great pride that to be called as God, the Supreme Personality. And this is our problem in this material world, that unfortunately we are so much covered by the illusionary energy that we actually begin to believe that I am someone very powerful. I am the controller. Aham Ishwara. But very quickly, Krishna puts you down and says, hey, there's only one Ishwara here. You can try to become Ishwara, but you'll fail miserably. And we see throughout the history of mankind that there are many, many so-called illusionary personalities. And no doubt, they are empowered with some physical powers, even some mystical powers. And due to that, they begin to think, I'm the controller. And when they begin to think I'm the controller, then what they do? They subdue everyone into submission and forcefully control everyone. But to date, nobody has reached that power to control anyone. They have this so-called short-term control over people. But very quickly, those living entities will rebel, as we see in this material world, that from the very beginning, in the Puranas, in the histories, especially Mahabharata and Ramayana, all are filled with wars. What was the wars for? Because this illusionary energy is telling you that you are God, and therefore you have to rightfully claim your position as God. But Krishna, who is the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Brahmaji says in his prayers, Ishwara Parama Krishna, that he's the Supreme. He's the Supreme Ishwara. And there's no place where Krishna has to come and forcefully establish his supremacy. We don't read anywhere that Krishna enforces his supremacy anywhere. But by his very activities, people recognize that here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this particular verse which we are studying today, Lord Brahma is very clearly praying that I may be credited to as a creator of this universe and everything within this universe. But actually, I get my powers from Vasudev. Therefore, I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord. And he is very clearly saying that he is paying obeisances to his master. So what does that mean? That we, the mere mortals who have access to this transcendental knowledge, will understand that even Lord Brahma is praying to the Supreme Lord. Of course, we have many incidences where Lord Brahma sometimes overcomes by the illusionary powers. So this also gives an underlining principle to us as mere mortals, as tiny entities, that if Lord Brahma, who is a very powerful personality, who is empowered to create in this material universe, if he can become a victim of illusionary energy, what to speak of us? But when Brahmaji is put into illusion by the Supreme Lord's energy, it is not for some purpose that the Lord enjoys subduing Brahmaji. But Brahmaji becomes an instrument in his submission to the Supreme Lord to teach us that when we are under illusion, we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, and how, by taking shelter of the Supreme Lord, we become freed from that illusion. So therefore, in this purport, Prabhupada is saying the less intelligent will either accept someone little more superior to him or her as the Supreme, or that less intelligent person will probably think, I am the controller. No, Hiranyakashipu was thinking that I will become a controller. But at least Hiranyakashipu understood that his powers cannot come from within. He gets his powers from what? From his deep meditation on Lord Brahmaji. So he also acknowledges that Lord Brahma is his superior. When he is doing his deep tapasya, austerities for years, to the body, to the point that his whole body is completely deteriorated by the ants, but the soul is still strong. At some point, Lord Brahma feels compassion towards him, and he appears and says, okay, I am pleased by your austerities. Ask for the boon what you want. And he's thinking, now I will ask all these different boons to protect myself from every eventuality so that nothing can touch me and death will never approach me. So, of course, he is thinking very intelligently. But he doesn't know that he's of a lesser intelligent quality, because the only supreme intelligence we get is when we are doing worship of the Supreme Lord with love. As Krishna says, bhajatam priti purvakam. That very defined form of loving exchange with the Supreme Lord and worshipping Him. Then He gives the dadami buddhi yogam. He gives the intelligence. And when that intelligence is given to us, then that is superior intelligence. But that superior intelligence doesn't make us believe that we are Ishwaras. That actually brings the point home to us that the Supreme Lord is my worshipable Lord. As Lord Brahmaji in his prayers, in this verse, is offering his prayer to the Supreme Lord. And of course, Brahmaji is credited for his wonderful treatise in the Brahma Samhita, where he is giving very detailed explanations of all the creation and all different manifestations, all different demigods and how their powers are there. Ultimately, Govindam Adipursham Tamaham Bhajami. That ultimately, we pray our obeisances and respect unto Govinda, who is Adipurusha, he is a supreme Purusha. So that supreme Purusha has to be recognized. And we, as mere mortals, as I said, become illusion and think that we are controllers. So we are trying to control in this universe all different people, even as devotees, even though we have a little higher understanding and we have come out of the category of dogs, hogs, and camels and asses. We have risen a little bit higher than that platform. But still, as devotees, we think, I'm a controller. Because as soon as you get some position of leadership or management, and there are certain number of persons, devotees, put under your care, immediately that Aham Ishwara potency comes out. And at that point, you try to exercise that Aham Ishwara potency to subdue the devotees under your care and think, I am the controller. And you do as I tell you. If you do not do as I tell you, that is aparad. So we take this shield of aparad. But there is no aparad if you disobey your superior, if they are not in the right mindset. Now, one of the most important aspects we can learn from Srila Prabhupada as the great acharya is that he was in power and control of everything, at least in his institute. That is why his address is the founder acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. He is the supreme within the society. But even then, when Srila Prabhupada is credited to become the founder acharya, not just, but the acharya of this society, he takes a humble position. And if you listen to his lectures, and sometimes there is also some video recordings of him, he would sit on a Vyasasan with folded hands, and then he would give credit to his position, to his guru, that this is all by the mercy of my guru. Then secondly, he says, I am so fortunate that by mercy of my Guru Maharaj, I am in this position that I can serve you all. So even though he's in the supreme position, but he is teaching by his own example that he is the server. He's serving his disciples. And how is he serving his disciples? Definitely not doing their laundry, not cleaning their ashram. But he is awakening them to the transcendental knowledge, freeing them from the illusion. Of course, in the beginning, if you read Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita in 26 Second Avenue, Prabhupada was doing everything. He would wake up in the morning and clean the whole 26 Second Avenue storefront and prepare very nicely. And then when the different persons come as posters are put everywhere, that we have twice a week satsang gathering here, and they would all come. And then Prabhupada would come down from the apartment he's staying in the back, and then he would sit very humbly on a little dais, and then he would address the audience. First he would do kirtan, then he would address. And after addressing them, he would then say, please sit down now. And Prabhupada, prior to him coming down for his class, he has already cooked prasadam for distribution. Now he cooked it all. And then he comes down after the class is finished, everybody sitting down, and Prabhupada would serve. And some other, assistants who have realized, then they say, hey, he's such a great man, very elderly person, he's serving us, then I should also serve. So they would assist Prabhupada serving. After serving, in the beginning, they would gobble away all the prasadam and very be happy because they have just been elated from the lower position by the harinam from a pure devotee, then hearing the transcendental subject matter, then they're eating prasadam cooked by the hands of the pure devotee, and not only cooked by the pure devotee's hands, but served by the pure devotee's hand. You can never get any better position than that. Even the great personalities like Brahmajis are hankering for that kind of association. So, all these people would finish their meals and go, and then Prabhupada would pick up all the litter, everything, clean up everything, and then go. Now, this is none other than the person who has achieved the position of the Acharya. Now, if the Acharya, who is in such a powerful position, shows by his own personal example how to serve and give credit to the previous acharyas, and of course ultimately to the Supreme Lord. He never takes position as a supreme controller. He doesn't have any illusion that he is Ishwara. But he is saying that I am in a position, by the mercy of the Lord, that I am able to do this service. So in our mindset, as I said, as devotees at least, karmis I can understand because they are completely under illusion and they think they are little Ishwaras. So they can keep playing their little Ishwara roles until they get frustrated, and then they're going down the street and say, excuse me, sir, have a moment. No, just walk away. No. And we pursue and say, excuse me, please, we are giving out these very wonderful books. And Krishna in his heart says, take it. And then we happily give him the book. And then he takes the book and then he says, wow, man, this book is very wonderful. And it clears up his illusion of Aham Ishwara. And then he realizes, I am a das and a das and a das. Then he comes knocking on the door. Hey, I got this book. I want to know more. Okay, move in the ashram. And then your journey begins. That's the journey of the transcendental onward journey back to the original spiritual place where we come from, go back home, back to Godhead. So Prabhupada is teaching us. So we should not become under this illusion. If we get, by some mercy of the Lord and his pure devotees, that some position is granted to you, and some devotees are put under your care. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Some devotees are put under your care, then you have to take this position as a server, and assist them in their onward journey, not become under illusion, thinking, I am controller, I am Ishwara, because that is a very dangerous position to be in. So here, in these words, at least we can learn very clearly that Lord Brahma is very clearly explaining to his disciple Narada, who is having a conversation with him and inquiring. Now remember that now in hindsight we have a deeper understanding of the position of Narada Muni, position of Brahma through Prabhupada's transcendental literatures. And Lord Brahma, as he addresses Lord Brahma, and sometimes Narada is also addressed as Lord Narada. But when you address Lord, doesn't mean that they become the Lord. Lord is given an honorific title as a mark of respect, that we see that you are greater than me, and therefore I offer you a greater respect. It's a title. But Narada is not thinking, now that I'm being addressed as Lord Narada, I'm the Lord. Brahmaji's address is Lord Brahma. He doesn't think I am the Lord. He's clearly defining very clearly, because they have understood their real position. As here also Prabhupada mentions, and also verse says, that Brahmaji understands his real position. And of course, as I said, we understand now that Lord Brahma is not ordinary. Lord Narada Muni is not ordinary. They are one of the 12 Mahajans, the greatest teachers of this transcendental knowledge. Now, it's not, just a position given to you if you are a novice in the art of Krishna consciousness. You have to be very much fixed in the knowledge. And the knowledge is, of course, revealed both to Lord Brahma and Narada Muni by the Lord himself. As Prabhupada says, that verse where he's saying that anybody who has implicit faith in Guru and Krishna, then all the imports of Vedic knowledge are automatically revealed within the heart. So it's not that if you're going to read Srimad Bhagavatam day in and day out and every day, page by page by page, and memorize the purports and memorize the verse and everything, and hey, presto, one day you go, hey, I understand the knowledge. No. The knowledge is revealed from within the heart. But reading Srimad Bhagavatam, as is mentioned by Veda Vyasa in the Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that regularly hearing Bhagavatam frees us from our misconceptions. And when we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, what happens is that our hearts become free from all illusion. And the slate, which is written with all kind of garbage on it for many, many births, is wiped clean. And when it is wiped clean, then the Lord starts writing on it. And when the Lord is writing, he is revealing to you. So that's why it's called the knowledge which is revealed to us. It is not got from some external source, but it is revealed to you. But when this knowledge is revealed to you, it's also decided by the Lord himself. Because he sees that you are now ready, then he will reveal the knowledge. As we are getting a transcendental understanding of this knowledge, and we experience this knowledge, and then we put into practice, then we really understand our real position. Jivere Swarupahoy, Krishna Nityadas. Eternally we are servant of Krishna. And therefore our business is to just serve Krishna in every aspect. But even as I said, as even devotees, we are many times under illusion, thinking that now I'm a devotee. And people are offering me respect. So I must be worthy of all these things. But really, when someone is offering us respect, what should be our mindset? What should be our consciousness? If someone says, Prabhu, accept my obeisances, then we don't say, yes. You are paying obeisances to me. Yes. No, I'm worthy of it. No. Immediately we should think that since you are offering obeisances to me, means you are recognizing that the Lord in my heart, and I'm connected with the Lord in my heart, therefore you are showing me respect. So then you immediately take that respect which is given to you and offer it to your spiritual master. And of course, he takes it and gives it to his spiritual master, ultimately goes to Krishna. I was just reading one nice quote of Srila Prabhupada, and one disciple asks, Prabhupada, there are many times people come, because this is custom in India, people come and see you, dressed in saffron robes as a saintly person. They would come and start touching your feet. Of course, they're literally taking this message, take the shelter of the lotus feet. Now, there's nothing lotus about my feet. I don't know about your feet, but I can only say there's nothing lotus about my feet. And then when they touch my feet, you know, my ego probably thinks, ah, oh, they're bowing down to me and touching my feet. I must be a very great person. But really, I'm getting a lot of karma. So Prabhupada said, we should not allow anybody to touch our feet. And sometimes some people forcefully come and touch your feet. Then Prabhupada said, at that point, you pray to the Lord in your heart and say, dear Lord, this is for you. So you pass on that respect onto the Lord and not keep it for yourself. Because as soon as you keep it for yourself, then Krishna says, that is also okay, no problem with me. But more and more you keep that respect for yourself, your ego begins to grow bigger and bigger and bigger. Eventually you come under so much illusion thinking that I am the controller. And we have understood from Srimad Bhagavatam, these great demoniac personalities, as their ego is boosted more and more, they become more control freaks and they think they are actually the supreme. And that is the most dangerous position to be, because here in the Burpar, Prabhupada very clearly says, this is the lesser intelligent people who are a class of dogs, hogs, camels and asses. Now, nobody wants to be addressed as a dog or a camel or a hog or an ass. So as soon as you say something like that to someone, immediately the ego will become defensive and you probably end up with a physical fight, if not at least verbal fight. Because if the opponent is a little stronger than you, then you will probably use your intelligence and say, well, it's no point physically fighting, so I will use my verbal abuse. But nonetheless, these things happen. And we try to control. So ultimately, we have to learn from great personalities like Lord Brahma, who is one of the great Mahajans, is to how to accept our position in humility of insignificant and pray to the Supreme Lord for his blessings, gives intelligence, and thereby really understanding our position. And that position is Jivere Swarupa Hoy Krishna Nitya Das, that we are eternally servant of Krishna. And as servant of Krishna, our only business is to serve Krishna every which way. But again, as I say, that when we understand this statement that we are servant of Krishna, superficially we accept, yes, I am a servant of Krishna. But deep down, we are expecting respect for ourselves. And that position will be very dangerous, and very quickly we will go downwards to the 8,400,000 species and come to the lowest consciousness. And then you're going to start all over again. So at least in this life, we are very fortunate that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's established this wonderful vehicle called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Sometimes it is likened to a boat going on in this transcendental journey. Of course, first of all, before we reach the transcendental goal, we have to go through this material ocean of suffering. And again, Prabhupada is using very careful words. He's saying this is an ocean of material suffering. So we all have experience of the ocean. You know, if you haven't, take a trip in one of the cruises on the ocean. And illusional energy will say, wow, this is so wonderful. All facilities are here for full entertainment. And all of a sudden, the captain says on the tannoy system, dear passengers, kindly go back to your cabin and we are going to go through some rough, turbulent weather here. And the ocean is in complete violent mode and is tossing and turning your boat or your cruise. Then you realize this is the ocean of suffering. Until that point, we think, well, everything is hokey-dory, you know, it's fine, you know. Just like even I'm sure most of you have done flight trips, gone on the plane and sitting very comfortably. You know, even though the pilot says, you know, this is your captain speaking, I have turned on the seatbelt light. Please put on your seatbelts. And we still don't put a seatbelt on. Thinking, this is safe, you know. Because you read the statistics that flying is the most safest mode of any transportation. You know, a car, a bus, a train, it's dangerous. But a plane is the safest. So you feel quite happy. And again, the pilot, of course, he gets pre-warning from his ground station saying the weather is turbulent, and then the plane begins to shake. So again, the pilot says, we are going through some turbulent weather, kindly sit down. and put on your seat belts until further notice. And you put on a seat belt on, and they're sitting there, and you know, sometimes you watch the entertainment given inside, or you put on your headphones and listen to your music, or you chit-chat along. Although the pilot has said, we are going through turbulence, it's danger. But we are not still awakened to that danger. So, you know, similarly, we are also getting this kind of indications in the material world that we are going through this turbulent ocean of suffering. Take shelter. And what is our shelter? The holy name of the Lord. But we can do everything but the holy name of the Lord. So we have to learn from the great Mahajans like Lord Brahma how we can understand our position and then fully take to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and engage ourselves 24/7 in the service of the Lord. And when we do that, then the Supreme Lord promises that anybody who comes, I will then personally take charge of you. And when we freely give ourselves to the Supreme Lord with full submission, say, I have no independence, dear Lord. I am giving myself to you. You are my controller. Do as you like. Then the Lord says, okay, now that you are willingly coming to me, not by any duress or by some force or circumstances, but by your own choice you're coming, then the Lord says, yes, I accept you. Now I will take control of you. And when the Lord takes control of you, you actually have to allow him to take control of you. Because at that point, he can do anything. But we just have to say, whatever you do, Lord, you know the best. As Lord Chaitanya's prayer, that you can make me brokenhearted by embracing me or not embracing me, that's okay. Whatever you do is fine. I will not be disturbed. I will be fully focused in serving you. And how best we can serve the Lord? Anyone? What is the best way to serve the Lord? Okay, here's one way. This is the bottom line. Because the best way we can serve the Lord is chanting the holy name. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. Three times emphasize. No other way. Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. So this is the bottom line. And everything what we do in our existence, when we become awakened to the spiritual understanding, is take the shelter of the holy name. And after taking shelter of the holy name, then that is submitting to Krishna. As our Prabhupada says, that prayer, Hare Krishna prayer is, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That, dear Lord, please free me from this illusion and engage me in your service. That is our cry. But we have to keep repeating over and over and over, because one time going in front of Radha Gokulananda says, dear Radha Gokulananda, please free me from this illusion. Let me serve you. And the Lord says, okay, but we are not ready to serve him. We want to do everything but serve him. So therefore, we have to keep chanting Hare Krishna, all day long until the soul who is accompanied by the obstinate mind is under control. And then when the mind is completely under the control of you, then the Lord will direct you and guide you, and then we'll be able to serve. Because the mind is the most dangerous thing. And how we can control the mind again is a simple, same medication. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on that note, I will stop. It's 8:30. Anybody has any comments or questions? Maybe 1 or 2 minutes we can spend. So anybody any comments? Yes, David.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. My question is about, you mentioned about Lord Brahma and Narada, that they were placed under illusion. But I was wondering in terms of Srila Prabhupada, that his disciples, based on their actions, Srila Prabhupada would incur karma. or incur certain negative reactions. So I'm just trying to understand, is there an aspect of karma even in Srila Prabhupada's karmic rendering, in that sense that he has to in under the influence.
What is the question?
If someone who is like a Srila Prabhupada, if they're actually under the influence of karma and receive karmic reactions, like, because there's in Lilamrita mentions that Srila Prabhupada suffered karmic reactions due to the actions of his disciples.
Yeah, well, this is a part and parcel of taking responsibility. So, you know, Prabhupada gives many times that lecture based on the teachings of Rishabdev. You know, and he quotes that verse, you have no right to become a guru, a father or a mother if you cannot free your dependents. There's a father, mother of course, his children, as a guru as your disciples. So when you take this responsibility, then the disciples' karma is taken by the spiritual master. But the spiritual master doesn't suffer the karma of his disciple because he is doing the service on behalf of his guru. So ultimately, it's Krishna who takes the karma. But then Krishna doesn't suffer the karma. He is in the transcendental position to nullify the effects of karma. Only he can nullify the effects of karma. But that is, Krishna says, aham tam sarva papebhyo, I will free you from all. Okay. But the spiritual master is also in that position as a transcendental situation where he is showing by his example that don't do any nonsense. Because of your nonsense, I will suffer. So we understand that, you know, many, many great devotees go through trials and tribulations in their existence as devotee. You know, of course, the most easy to understand is Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was totally innocent. From the day he was born, he had no kind of sinful mindset. But from the very beginning of his life, he was put into danger. Simply because he was worshipping the Lord. So we cannot say that Prahlad was suffering some kind of karma, but the Lord was using Prahlad to teach us how to become, you know, tolerant, how to become free from all this fear and situate ourselves in the lotus feet of Krishna. So Prabhupada also externally showed some sufferings. But this is part and parcel of the material world. Unless and until you are free from the material world, you will have to suffer the pangs of the material world, especially based on the three modes of material nature. And this body, no matter how transcendental you become, it is the soul which becomes transcendental. As Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, transcend these three modes of material nature. But the body is still made of material elements, and it is going to be impacted by the laws of material nature. So as long as you're in the material world, then from birth till death, in between, many, many disease conditions will come, many unfortunate conditions will come. But the Supreme Lord gives us the power to overcome all these things and not be disturbed by that. So that's why a saintly person, he may go through some difficult bodily discomforts. But it doesn't mean that he's going to suffer. Krishna takes the suffering. Also, quickly, I can two points come to my mind. One is Haridas Thakur, when he was whipped in the marketplace. Although, you know, generally that punishment is given, after the second and third marketplace, the person doesn't live anymore. Because the weeping and then the pain and so much discomfort is there that the soul leaves the body. Haridas went through all the marketplaces and still had the signs on his back with weeping and cuts, but he did not feel little pain because Lord Chaitanya took all of his pain away from him. The same with Sanatan Goswami. You know, he had all these kind of boils in his body and very discomfortable situation. And he was thinking, okay, this is it. This body is useless. I'm going to give it up. And Mahaprabhu says, no. You have surrendered to me. You cannot take decision like that. And Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him. And when he embraced him, all his disease condition vanished. So the Lord doesn't let you suffer. But to show us mortals, as I said, by example, that when we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, he is there. Aham tam sarva papibhyo. He frees us from all. So even though externally appears we are suffering, but the Lord takes away the pain of the suffering. And that will only happen when we are fully surrendered. Mamekam sharanam raja. Unless until we are at that point, we have to suffer. And Prabhupada, although in his that condition, he never complained once, I'm having so much pain and I'm suffering. Even to the point where during his last pastimes of finishing off in this material world in Vrindavan, he's lying on his bed. And all his doctors and Kavirajis and everybody would come. They would look at Prabhupada and say, how is this person lying so peacefully there? Because in their experience, anybody who is in that condition would be screaming with pain. As we know in this, if you go to see that, those who are seriously in that very diseased condition, what does the doctor do? They put someone metformin, what do you call this, morphine, and put you under medical coma to prevent you from suffering and numb your body totally. Otherwise, that person would not be able to tolerate the pain. But Prabhupada is lying very peacefully there. And then sometimes devotees are doing soft kirtan. Other times Prabhupada said, dictaphone. So they would bring a dictaphone to his mouth and they say, okay, read the Sanskrit words, and he would translate. Now, nobody in his right mind would be able to do that in that condition. But Prabhupada transcended. And therefore Krishna was completely in control. So he was not feeling any pain. Although from our external vision we say, oh my God, this is a terrible condition to be in. Prabhupada also showing by his own example. So my understanding is that when you take full shelter, Mame Kam Sharan Raja, you are fully surrendered to the lotus feet, then the Lord will not put you in any condition of suffering. But externally it may appear like that. But the person who is fully surrendered will not experience the pains of this material world. So we have to look forward to that position. And that position is open for us. Okay? Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. How can we find the more subtle symptoms of I'm the controller?
How do you find it?
Symptoms, but more subtle, like not... Sometimes it's clear, like, oh, this is it. And sometimes it's more subtle.
As Maya's illusion is so powerful that, even sometimes subtly we cannot recognize. Therefore, Prabhupada recommends that our best solution is, one, take shelter of the holy name. Two, take shelter of the devotees. So when you are in devotee association, and if for some reason your condition is getting little bit, you can say under illusion or thinking I am controller, subtly the ego is, puffing up, then the devotees will put you down. Hey, Prabhu, why are you so arrogant? Hey, this is not right. So then we should take that this is the Lord in the heart of that person instructing you, awakening you to your position. Because we should always be thinking that I am actually insignificant. Whatever I am doing is by the mercy of the Lord, because, as I said, he gives the one intelligence. Two, he also gives you the ability. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the ability in man. So we have zero ability. But whatever ability we have, it is the grace of the Lord upon us. So that may be some physical strength, or some intellectual intelligence, whatever ability is there, it is simply by the Lord. And if the Lord, just switches off, then that's it. You have nothing. So we are fully dependent on him. And this, if you want to understand this concept, is that when there's a bonfire and there are a lot of sparks flying out of the fire, so in quality, those sparks are as good as the fire. And as long as that spark is within close proximity of the fire, it will glow. But the same spark, as it distances itself away from the fire, it diminishes. It has no power. So similarly, we, as a living entity, the closer we are to the Lord, the more ability we have. The further we go away from the Lord, then we become diminished in our powers. So spiritually speaking, we will be diminished. But still, we can say, well, how comes the karmis, they're doing all these things? The karmis are also granted their ability by the same Lord, but that ability is not based from the Supreme Lord's grace. It is based on the karma. That whatever deeds you have done, that's it. You cannot do any more or any less. But that is based on karma. But as a devotee, the closer we come to the Supreme Lord, the more and more, just like the spark, will glow. And when it's glowing, that ability is coming from the Supreme Lord. Okay? All right. Thank you very much. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Rashi Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai. Jai Gaur Premanande.